He saw that the airlock hatch was open, subdued red light glowing from it. "Is Valker using our airlock?" he wondered aloud. "I doubt it," said Dorn. "Then who?" Theo saw two space-suited figures outlined against the airlock's dim red lighting. "Mom!" he called over the suit-to-suit frequency. "Angie! Theo! We're coming over to you! Okay, great! Make it quick!" Theo turned to Dorn. "Tell Ms. Apacheta to goose the fusion drive as soon as we get them aboard. Maybe we can take them in and get away from here before Valka's crew can board us." Dorn shook his head inside the inflated bubble hood of the nanosuit. "Too late," he said, pointing. Half a dozen nanosuited men were jetting up from between the spokes of Syracuse and heading straight for them.
Standing at Vogeltot's main airlock in his nanofabric spacesuit, Valker heard Theo's call to his mother and sister. "The kid's still alive," he growled. "And the women are trying to jump over to Hunter," Kirk said. "Let 'em," Valker snapped. "We'll get there first. Come on." He squeezed the knob that controlled his suit's propulsion unit and jetted out of the airlock. Five of his men followed him, Nico and three others he had left behind to take over Syracuse. As they maneuvered through the spokes of the big wheel-shaped Syracuse, Kirk laughed maliciously.
"Nico's gonna crab himself when he finds the sugar pods ain't on the ship."
"So what?" said Valker. "Once we take over Hunter, we've got the women, too." He could see Hunter hanging in the emptiness, rotating slowly. "There's the airlock," Valker said to himself, "and two people standing in it." "Hey, there's the women," one of his crew called out. Turning slightly, Valker made out a pair of figures in hard suits jetting toward Hunter's open airlock hatch. "Good," he said. "Let them get to the airlock first. We'll hit them while they're all crammed in there together."
"What about hitting one of the auxiliary locks, too?" Kirk asked.
"So they'll be sealed tight. Why blow a locked hatch when we've got one wide open and waiting for us?" Then Valker thought a moment. Turning to the two men handling the big welding laser, he said, "Slice a chunk out of the main thruster cone. I don't want them lighting off their fusion engine and getting away from us." "Alverda," Dorn was saying into his suit microphone, "as soon as I give the command, you must push the main engine to full thrust." "I understand." Her voice sounded tense in his earphones. The two women were a scant 100 meters from the airlock hatch and coming on fast, but the half-dozen scavengers were not far behind them. "Crank the command chair to the full reclining position," Dorn told her. "You'll be able to take the acceleration better that way." "Don't worry about me," she replied immediately. But Dorn did worry. She can't take a full G's acceleration, he thought. Even with the stem cell therapy she received, her heart can't take the strain. "But if we don't get out of here before those men come aboard..."
"I'm programming the propulsion system for a 1G acceleration," Alverda was saying, her voice tight but calm. "Tell me when."
"Crank the chair down," he repeated.
"Yes, certainly."
Theo nudged him with an elbow. "Here they come." In their spacesuits, it was impossible for Dorn to tell who was the mother and who the daughter. Close behind them, six other figures were speeding toward them, the scavengers from Vogeltot. "Hurry," Theo urged. Dorn saw two of the scavengers peel off, away from the others. They were carrying some kind of bulky equipment. A weapon, he wondered.
"I'm ready to light off the fusion drive," Alverda's voice reported.
Theo was attaching a tether to one of the cleats on the hull just outside the airlock hatch. Before Dorn could ask him why, the youngster jumped out into the vacuum and reached for the nearer of the two women. He pushed her toward the airlock, then stretched his arms out toward the other one. Dorn grabbed at the woman as she coasted into the airlock and helped stop her headlong rush. "You're safe now," he said. He could see the frightened expression on her face through her glass-steel helmet. "For how long?" Pauline asked.
Theo clutched at his sister's outstretched hand and tugged her toward the airlock.
"Thee, look out!"
Angela screamed. One of the scavengers was speeding toward them. Theo pushed Angela toward the airlock hatch and turned to face the approaching man. He could see Kirk's face through the bubble of his nanofabric suit, lips pulled back in a savage grin. He was brandishing a long, deadly-looking power drill. "I'm gonna finish you once and for all, kid." Theo jetted up and away from the scavenger, but the tether reached its limit and stopped him with an abrupt jerk that pulled Theo upside down. Kirk swung around, fiddled with his propulsion unit's controls, and came swooping after him. Theo dived toward Kirk, holding his end of the buckyball tether in both hands, and flicked it like a whip. Kirk flew into it, and Theo spun around him, wrapping the tether around Kirk's middle, trapping one of his arms against his torso. Screaming curses, Kirk flailed at the tether with the drill, but the buckyball material was too tough even to scratch. Theo raced back to the airlock hatch, where Dorn, his mother, and sister were standing. A burst of light splashed off the airlock hatch. "They're firing lasers at us," Theo realized. Theo planted his boots on the airlock deck just as a blast of energy slammed into his back. He staggered into his mother and sister.
"Thee?"
"I'm all right. They hit my backpack."
"They've also hit the hatch control," said Dorn. "We can't close the outer hatch."
"They're almost here," Angela said,
and Theo saw the scavengers racing toward them, with Valker in the lead, a laser pistol in his hand.
"Fire the engine," Dorn shouted.
"Firing,"
said Alberta.
Hunter shuddered as if it had been hit by a bomb, but it did not move away from the men approaching the airlock.
Cargo ship Pleiades. Bridge. Victor was close enough to hear the suit-to-suit chatter from the other ships. He recognized Theo's voice and his wife's. Then there were others, men's voices, cursing, yelling. It sounded as if some sort of struggle was going on, a fight. He stared at his main screen as if he could get himself there by sheer willpower. Still 15 minutes away, he saw from the numbers on the nav program. What's happening? He asked himself. What's going on there? He could see Syracuse gleaming sharply in sunlight against the starry background of infinity. There was another ship linked to it, and Hunter had arrived and matched their velocity vector. A burst of flame from Hunter's main thruster, Victor saw the ship shudder. A half-dozen figures were flitting around the vessel, most of them clustered at the main airlock. 14 minutes and 30 seconds, Victor knew he had to do something. But what?
Standing in the crowded airlock, pistol in his hand, Valker smiled at his prisoners.
"No sense fighting," he said amiably. "Your ship is crippled, and you're not going anywhere."
Theo could see the other scavengers crowding around the airlock hatch. Kirk glowered at him murderously.
"Let's go inside," Valker said, motioning with his pistol. "It's not polite to leave your visitors hanging outside your door."
"Besides," Theo said to himself, "the air in your suits must be running low." He saw a red light splashed across the inside of his own bubble helmet. "That laser shot smashed up my life support pack," he realized.
Dorn said slowly, "You've destroyed the control for the outer hatch. If I open the inner hatch, the air in this entire section of the ship will blow away into vacuum. Tell whoever's at your bridge to seal the airtight emergency hatches," Valker said. "That way, only one small section will go to vacuum, and you can pump air into it again once the inner airlock hatch is closed again." "Yes, that is the answer," Dorn said. He called Alverda. "Are you all right?"
"Yes," her voice answered. "But the engine, it failed."
"Our guests," Dorn's voice dripped irony, "disabled the thruster." "Tell her to close the emergency hatches," Valker reminded. "Now," Kirk stressed. "Close all the emergency hatches," Dorn said. "We're going to use the section next to the main airlock as an extension of the lock."
"Why?"
"Please do it," Dorn urged. "We have visitors among us." Within minutes, all 10 of them were crowded into the locker area, with the inner airlock hatch safely sealed and the section of the ship refilled with air.
"Take off your helmet, lad," Valker said to Theo. "Let's see if the air pressure's okay."
Burning with anger, Theo lifted his helmet off his head.
"The air's fine," he said. "You too, please,"
Valker said to Paul.